This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock at 3:03 on your Tuesday afternoon, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio with you for another three-hour tour here on The Drive, and we have a big one lined up for you this afternoon. Adam Sparks of KnoxNews.com coming up here in just a few moments on the show. We'll also stop by our old friend Lucas Widespread Panzeca, going to join from Nashville in hour number two. So a lot to get to on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Programming note, Terry Fair will join on Friday. Oh, many of you were disappointed, as I was, when T-Fear said, "Russ, I can't do it." I said, "Damn it." But good news is he will be with us at National RX for the toy drive on Friday. So we are looking forward to that.
Fantastic.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it, though?
I'm telling you, I said it yesterday. This is my favorite thing we do all year. This is the Toys for Tots drive.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get to do it last year.
Yeah. So. But it's really cool.
Yep.
You ever been a part of one, Jake?
Do a lot with like Angel Tree stuff and helping out locally back home.
What do you mean? Ask Jake Miller if he does a lot. I mean, look, does this not look like a man who is involved in his local community?
I mean, technically, I am.
Does this not look like a man who embraces charitable endeavors? Of course. Of course he's been involved in something like that.
I am still just stunned at his ability to grow like a full-on beard as he has.
Enthralled with Jake Miller's beard.
Last week at this time, he was clean-shaven. Look at him, man. He looks like a damn caveman.
You might want to.
Did you ever see that movie, The Santa Claus?
Just saying.
Where he shaves and then his beard just pops right back?
Yeah.
That's what you're like. You might make a good Santa Claus.
I've been Santa Claus before.
Got the dimensions for it. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but
you have the makings of a very good Santa, Jake.
A very dark-skinned Santa, but
it could happen. Yeah. It could happen. Well, a lot has transpired since we left you last night. I mean, we thought the big news when we got off the air was going to be the commitment from Christian Harrison, and I guess that is big news, and we'll talk about that. But the seismic news that shook up the college football universe shortly after we got off the air was that LSU has hired Brian Kelly away from Notre Dame to take over on the Bayou. And they said that this guy, Woodward, down there, the athletics director, likes to make big splash hires. And I just kind of rolled my eyes at that. It's like, yeah, all ADs would like to make big splash hires. Nobody wants to make a hire that – when it happens, nobody takes notice. People just kind of like, whatever. Yeah, you want a big splash hire. But I don't know, maybe there's something to it. He hired Chris Peterson at Washington. He hired him away from Boise. Nobody thought he'd ever leave. He hired Jimbo down at Texas A&M. And now he has hired Brian Kelly at LSU. Bear, people have been having fun with you. You had the direct quote.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I talked, you were in the group, but you know, I was talking to a longtime friend of the show, Christopher Gabriel, about it. And for people of a certain age, like, this is unheard of. Like, I really thought there was no way in hell, just because that's how I've been conditioned all my life. It's never happened before.
I think, you know, I don't think it's necessarily like an old person thing. I mean, Notre Dame is still a good and prestigious job. I think it's just more of the fact of these guys don't move around much. Like, Dan Mullen going to Florida is one thing. It's an intra-conference move, but it is a step up. James Franklin going from Vanderbilt to Penn State, it's Power 5, but it is a step up. Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma to USC is very much a lateral move. And Brian Kelly going from Notre Dame to LSU is very much a lateral move. Now, we can nitpick this and debate which job is the – but you can win – you can go to the playoffs and win a national championship at either of those four jobs. USC, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, LSU have all been to the playoffs. I guess USC hasn't, but we all know USC could very well go to a playoff someday. That's not
– true.
Unthinkable.
Well, here's where you guys may disagree with me on. And, hell, a lot of listeners might, but to me – Notre Dame to LSU is a step down, prestige-wise. And he lost, I'm telling you, man, he lost quite a bit of job security. I don't care how much they're paying him at LSU. He had it rolling up there. He could have cruised up there and kept winning 10 or 11 games and getting to the playoffs every so often. He'd have been fine. Well, he's at a place now where we saw with Ed Orgeron, they'll fire you in a heartbeat.
Don't you think it's easier to win a national championship at LSU, though, than it is Notre Dame? Really? Do you think Brian Kelly is a good football coach?
Yes.
He's very good, right?
I would consider him, top tier.
I think he's damn good.
And I don't know how well he's going to play down there.
And yet, he has not been able to break that door down. Every time he gets to the playoff, he gets waxed. Usually by Alabama, right?
Yeah, both but now Alabama. You're basically going to have to possibly beat Alabama twice to win a national championship.
My point is what we've been saying for the past couple of weeks about the LSU job is, man, if dummies like Les Miles and Ed Orgeron can win it all down there, it's just a matter of accumulating that much talent, then what can a coach who actually knows what the heck he's doing? And
yeah, I mean, I understand that part of it. Think about Les Miles. Les Miles backed into that one. That national championship he won. Didn't he had like two losses, didn't he? I mean, that was back in the BCS days.
Yeah, but, man.
I mean, go back to that season,
into
dude.
A national championship. That was a darn good team.
Look at
all the dudes.
B-A-C-K back.
Go back and look at that. What was that, 07? Look at that 07 LSU team, man. They probably have just as many pros on that team as any team that's won a national championship. You say he backed into it. I'd say if a competent coach had that level of talent, he probably wouldn't have backed in. He probably would have gone 12-0. All right, whatever. You can't say that Ed Orgeron – did Ed Orgeron back into the 2019 national championship? No, he just threw one of the best teams we've ever seen out there on the field, and they won in spite of him.
And he got fired a year and a half later.
So I think Brian Kelly's going to do really well down there. I think that's a great hire for them. Look, I see a lot of people saying, but he's not a good fit. He's not a good fit. Because he doesn't eat gumbo and he doesn't have hot sauce squirting out his ears, he's not a good fit.
They're a boiled egg in that gumbo.
One of the wisest things that has ever been said on this show, and I know that's not a very high bar, but – I quote it all the time. Dave Bartu, many years ago, said, you know what a good fit is? Somebody who wins. Somebody who wins. Like, people don't care, man. Everybody talked about what a great fit. Bruce Pearl. Remember when Bruce Pearl was here? Oh, he's a good fit. He's a good fit with our fan base. No, he's not. What are you talking about? Bruce Pearl was a Jewish Yankee from Boston. You think Bruce Pearl was a good fit here? You know why he was a good fit?
Because he won.
Because he won like 80% of the games.
But you have to admit his personality did mesh well with his fan base. The P.T. Barnum style crap.
How would that personality have meshed if he won 40% of his games?
Why are you – okay, here we go. Then why did you and the North City Bulldog, Davey Hudson –
about Mike Leach? Look at his record. He won at Texas Tech.
I'm telling you, man, he would not win here. He would lose to somebody that he's not supposed to lose to. Look, he might upset Alabama, but I'm telling you, you guys would go nuts as soon as he started the crazy train stuff.
Okay, fine. We get it. You don't like Leach. But
the personality
stuff, the cheerleading stuff, all that stuff, yeah, I'm not going to say that that's not fun and that fans don't enjoy that aspect of Bruce Pearl or Mike Leach or whoever you want. It's good. But at the end of the day, it's about winning, man. That's all that matters. It's sports. And Brian Kelly wins. I mean, go look at his track record. He wins a lot. And guess what? If he wins a lot at LSU, those people like him. They won't care that he's from up north, that he's a Midwesterner. They won't care. And if he loses, they'll fire him and they'll say, you know what? He wasn't a good fit. He didn't get this place. He didn't understand us. No, he just didn't win. And so you fired him. It's all about wins and losses, man. Stay with us. We got a lot to get to. The Notre Dame job is open. What will they do? Looks like Mark Stoops is getting that big extension at Kentucky. Today, we will break it all down. Adam Sparks of KnoxNews.com coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
Oh, man. It's that time of year, buddy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's time for our Christmas music. I miss it when we can't do it.
Is it too soon? Not too soon?
Maybe a little bit. We're gonna mix some stuff in here. I want to bring our guest into a little Blue Christmas. Yeah.
Well, let's ask him. Adam Sparks, KnoxNews.com. First of all, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
We're good. How you guys doing?
Doing well, thanks. What do you think? November 30th, too soon? Christmas music?
For me, it's too soon till like Christmas Eve.
Really?
I'm with you. Yeah,
but my wife is a Christmas fanatic, so the trees are up here, I think, maybe like mid-June. So
wow.
So I guess what I'm getting at is I'll lose that battle in the household.
Yeah. No, I'm coming from the exact same place. Like, my wife and kids are like, can we put it up now? Can we put it up now? I'm like, can we at least let football season start? I mean, that would be good. But it's when you're outnumbered, you're outnumbered. Adam, wild 48 hours or so in the college football universe. What was the more surprising move for you? Lincoln Riley heading west to USC or Brian Kelly last night leaving Notre Dame to head to LSU?
No, I'd say Brian Kelly. You know, it's a good job at Notre Dame. You have a whole lot of power there. You're not in a conference, so you're not fighting a lot of the fights that you have to elsewhere. So that one surprises me more. I mean, Lincoln Riley out of Oklahoma, we had heard there was some odd things or maybe some turmoil there for a while. So him going anywhere, I guess, isn't a complete shock. And then when you think he's going to a comparable program, at least traditionally, but he gets to, you know, live in, you know, sunny California. So I kind of understand that one. I think there's a big difference between the two also is that there's a perception that Lincoln Riley is running away from the SEC, but Brian Kelly is running into the SEC. You know, I mean, I guess there's two ways of looking at it. You know, you can go to USC and there's a number of jobs around the country that you do this for over the years, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, USC, Oregon, and Notre Dame, on down the list of these schools where you can be outside of the SEC and get into the college football playoff. Obviously Clemson is one of the latest ones. But there's another notion that the SEC is getting so strong and big, and eventually there's going to be some sort of a break there in the FBS, and you want to be on the boat. And the boat's the SEC, and so maybe Brian Kelly looks at it that way, that he wants to be in the Premier League if there's ever somewhat of a separation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of those things where he's made the playoff twice at Notre Dame and was unsuccessful in it. And it doesn't look like he's going to be any better or have any better chances there. I just wonder if he thinks, you know, can I go down there? And, heck, if Ed Orgeron and Les Miles can win championships down there, can I go down there and accumulate so much talent that I can't help but win? He's 60 years old. This is his last shot at the big time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The Coach O and the Les Miles, I think, does jump out to me because there's always ego involved with these coaches. And I don't know Brian Kelly personally, but from afar, it looks like his ego is pretty healthy, even compared to other coaches. And, you know, I mean, that's brought up over and over and over that they've had these three straight coaches to win a national title. And only one of those, I think, probably you feel like was one of the top five coaches in the country, and that's Saban. Miles and the Coach O, it was the right combination, the right timing, mostly the right talent. I'm sure Brian Kelly looks at that and says, I'm a better coach than both of those guys by a wide margin. If they can win, I can win. And in terms of talent, I mean, it's true. Notre Dame, if you go back 30 years, they had that name recognition. They always had the TV, the NBC contract, and you could recruit against the SEC and offer something that a lot of those couldn't. I mean, we look at Tennessee back in the 90s. They were on CBS a lot. Other SEC schools were not owned as much as them. So you had somewhat of an advantage. Everybody's on TV now. Who cares if you're on NBC every week? Everybody else is on TV. Mid-major schools are on TV. And then you're bringing people to campus, and you're bringing them to South Bend, Indiana. And once it gets past, you know, mid-October, it's cold. And you're recruiting people. You're recruiting against people that are from the South. Usually, that's where a lot of the talent is, and they want to stay in the South. And the weather is better, and game days are better. So, you know, eventually, I think he probably came around to the notion that maybe instead of recruiting against those schools, I should just go be a part of one of them. I will say that it's an odd fit, especially going from Orgeron to Brian Kelly. That's oil and water, and I'm not sure which way that'll go. But he does not fit what they've had at least the last couple of coaches.
It is a polar opposite, that's for sure. Now, Adam, we talked to Adam Sparks, KnoxNews.com, the news sentinel here in town. Adam, were you worried at all that you might have to cover a coaching search? I know Josh Heupel has put those rumors to bed today publicly. Or was there a small part of you that was like, might be kind of fun?
No fun at all. No, I've done enough of those over the years. I don't want any part of that. I thought it was maybe a small chance, but not really. I mean, there was so much against that. There's an $8 million buyout. Schools will pay an enormous amount of money, and we're seeing that especially this week. But they won't for a guy that is not yet proven. I mean, Josh Heupel had an admirable first season, but he was 7-5 in the SEC, and if you're going to spend that kind of buyout money, it's going to be somebody that's done more than that. I thought he was probably down their list quite a ways. You've got all the frosty relationship with Bob Stoops. That was going to be an obstacle if there was ever a chance. So, no, I didn't think Heupel was going to be in on it, but the way these things always go is you've got a first-tier candidate, it's a second-tier, and then once you get beyond that, you know, you have nervous ADs and boosters that just, you know, panic and try to find somebody. So eventually they were going to get to him, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Obviously, he addressed it. He's staying here.
You know, there's just this weird thing with the Tennessee gig where for years and years and years it was Majors and then it was Fulmer, and nobody ever thought that either one of those guys would ever leave Tennessee. You just knew that you were going to have to drag them out of that job kicking and screaming. And interestingly, they did with both of them. But
ahead. There's always the what if, too. If Lane Kiffin stays here for 5 or 6 years and then goes to a job like a USC, maybe this never happens, or maybe it just hadn't happened yet, and maybe you're like everybody else. You have a coach for 5 years, and that's fine. It's just it all started with him, and it's gone downhill from there in terms of tenures.
Well, Well, I guess my question is this just going to be a built-in feature of the Tennessee job moving forward if Josh Heupel enjoys success, or Tennessee fans going to have to worry about this on a almost yearly basis, or do you think that there's a level of comfort they could get to where you feel good about Josh Heupel, or who you know, in the long term? Or again, you know, is this just a built-in feature of modern college football when you see everything that's happening here lately?
It's somewhat a built-in feature, and yeah, I think the last couple of days can show us more than that, more than anything. The fact that Oklahoma and Notre Dame could not hang on to their coaches, and that Penn State spent an enormous amount of money to hold on to their coach, and everybody else is doing that now. I mean, Kentucky just gave Mark Stoops a big contract extension. Everybody's having to do this, so it's not really a blot on the UT program if you have to protect your coach. You have to really try hard to keep him. I mean, obviously the positive thing is if Josh Heupel is a candidate for some top jobs over the next 3 or 4 years, that means he's winning. Yep. You know, a few things that will keep him here is just you got to hope these NCAA sanctions aren't really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to be in a place where he thinks he can get to the playoff. And if it expands, maybe this is Brian Kelly's thinking, it'll expand and you can be the top four teams in the SEC, maybe even more than that, four or five, and get in. If he can get to that point at UT, then he's going to stay. You're just trying to get into the playoff, that's all.
Adam Sparks, KnoxNews.com. Adam, any feeling on a preferred bowl destination from Heupel and Tennessee's camp?
Well, I mean, usually you put the Florida bowls first in terms of your preference. There's six bowls that will be open to them or that will be available, six bowls that all supposedly select at the same level, but I don't think they're going to go to the Outback, at least probably not. That's the top of the six. And then you've got number two, three, and four, usually in the order of preference for most schools or a lot of schools, is the Gator, the Music City, and then the Duke's Mayo in Charlotte. I think they'll go to one of those. I would think because it's a Florida Bowl, nice weather, they'll put Gator at the top of their list. But they're going to have to bump a Texas A&M or maybe even Arkansas to get there. That's possible. But I would say the Gator Bowl would be the top of their list. Music City is next, and it's probably a little more likely. Music City, I know them down there pretty well. They're begging the SEC to get Tennessee. Especially to make up for some of the lost revenue they didn't have last year from having that bowl. So I'd say Music City and Gator, probably about a 40% chance each, and then maybe Charlotte would be about a 20% chance if you want to put odds on it.
Last thing we'll let you run, Adam. Who's more likely to turn pro early this year, Hendon Hooker or Cedric Tillman?
Ooh, I think maybe Tillman. Tillman is – I don't know. I won't say that he's topped out, but he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver once he goes through the bowl game. You know, he's not. I mean, his speed is okay, but it's never going to be really. It's not going to be great. His athletic abilities are what they are. You know, once you've hit a certain point as a wide receiver, the NFL knows what you are, and they'll judge you based on that. You don't have to put a whole lot of seasons together. Hendon Hooker could still go. His stock probably isn't going to improve that much from now till next year, but there seems to be sort of a feel that he's coming back and that he sees a value in coming back for 1 year. And maybe that helps him. Maybe he goes from like a sixth round pick to a fourth round or a fifth to a third or something like that. I don't think his NFL stock is going to be really, really high this year or next. I just feel like Tillman would maybe have a little better chance of leaving once he gets the evaluations. I think there's a decent chance both of them are back, though.
Yeah, that if Tillman were to take off, all three starting wide receivers gone, you would think that the help wanted blinking sign outside Josh Heupel or outside Cody Burns, the wide receivers coach's office there, would be pretty darn attractive to any receiver in the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah, this is – I mean, I don't know how you'd rank them around the country, but if you are a skill player – running back, wide receiver, or quarterback if Hooker were to leave, and you're jumping into the portal, I can't imagine there's a better situation. You can look at Javonte Payton. That's a guy that only had a few catches in his career
yeah.
at Mississippi State and Junior College, and then he comes here and he's one of the more dynamic receivers in the country. You can, if you're confident in your abilities and you're at this level, you can come here and catch 50 balls and 8 touchdowns. And that's going to be a pretty attractive to anybody that thinks they've been underused at their school.
Adam, great talking with you, my friend. Go follow him on Twitter, at Adam Sparks. Of course, KnoxNews.com for all the latest on Tennessee football. Appreciate your time. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. We'll see.
Adam Sparks making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit them online at g3helpme.com or call 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. We're going to take a quick timeout, open up the phone lines to you. Our number 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Back with more right after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBaire back with you. Jake Miller Cruz along with us as well on your Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. This portion brought to you by Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. If you got any questions about financial planning, investing, asset management, saving for retirement, call Les Turner at Right Approach Financial and let Les show you the right approach. It's never too soon. It's never too late to start planning for your retirement, so start developing your personal strategy today with Les Turner, Right Approach Financial. Call him at 865-498-3047 to set up a free consultation, and you can pick his mind about getting started. 865-498-3047 online at rightapproachfinancial.com. Adam on the Twitter machine says, love your show, but disagree with your take on Chip Kelly, met Brian. He has won at Notre Dame in a weak league, hasn't been in a league, and he's lost heavily in his playoff games. He's not a big winner. I mean, was it, he won, 70-80% of his games? Now, he did have a rough start at Notre Dame. It took him, two or three years to get going? He had a couple of fours.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, Charlie Weiss, he replaced Weiss, right?
Was it Weiss or Willingham?
Weiss. Weiss replaced Willingham.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if Charlie's still getting a buyout.
Probably.
God, he stole money.
That Charlie Weiss deal. Remember when they gave him that 10-year deal?
Yeah.
And at the time, it was like, okay, they're locking down a good coach.
Yeah.
But then it quickly became a laughingstock punchline.
You hired the guy that stood next to Belichick.
They're going to be, just for the length of time that they would have to pay him. And everybody said, oh, man, what a bad deal. And now, five schools have done that.
I'd like to see what I didn't mean to interrupt you. What exactly the terms of that deal were? Because I'd be willing to bet we're sitting here talking about it. I bet it pales in comparison to some of the deals that are getting thrown around now.
I think salary wise, it's lower, but the length of the deal and the length of the buyout. I mean, look at Michigan State has given Mel Tucker a 10-year deal,
a decade.
James Franklin, I think, got a 10-year kind of thing at Penn State. Sounds like Lincoln Riley's getting a 10-year. Yeah. It sounds like Jimbo Fisher already had one.
Yeah.
Now Brian Kelly's got one. Five coaches. You tell me all five of those guys are going to be hugely successful. At least one, probably two or three of those guys are going to be fired within the next 3 to 5 years.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
And these schools are going to be paying the monumental buyouts, and they're not going to care because the TV money keeps going up and up. And
poor big Bobby Hill, he only got 7 and he took over Chernobyl.
I don't know, man. 7 what?
7 years.
Oh, yeah, 6 now. 7 years. Well, it takes 7 years to build a program. That's what
The one I know he said that.
Absolutely ridiculous.
But what I'm saying is, out of all the coaches, Heupel's probably the only one with a legitimate excuse to need extra years.
Yeah.
Because of what he walked into.
By the way, Butch Jones has followed Brian Kelly. Every job Brian Kelly left,
Butch Jones
has replaced him.
Yeah, he shouldn't have taken that Arkansas State job. He should have waited.
If you're Butch, is the power move here to just show up in South Bend? This is what I do.
Yeah. I saw you tweet that, and then I think it was Gerald Riggs Jr. hit you with the GIF.
Oh, the Briggs?
The Brick Jeff.
I didn't see Riggs on there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Riggs replied to you. So, I don't know. You think he probably should have stayed? You think he's we're coming right to you, TJ. Do you think he's kicking himself, or he probably should have waited at Alabama for one more year? Like, if he knew last summer.
No, because Notre Dame's not going to hire him from Alabama.
Texas hired Sarkisian.
Why would you hire an analyst? You know, Sark was the offensive coordinator of a very prolific offense last year. Why would you hire the analyst over the names you're hearing right now?
Hell, I don't know. Luke Fickell. You probably wouldn't. Did you see Broadway Barber's tweet to me last night about it?
Listen,
With the Butch Bowl video board?
Yes. Butch is where he needs to be.
Jerk.
Failing in obscurity. That is where he belongs.
Be kind.
TJ, the Kentucky fan, is next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, TJ.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to be real quick. I've got two questions only. One of my best friends is a Tennessee fan, and we were talking today. You know, Tennessee and Kentucky have both had their struggles. Tennessee more recently than Kentucky, but Kentucky is, you know, when Mark Stoops got there, he said the talent level was FCS-level talent in the SEC. We got beat by 30 against Vandy, Joker Phillips, last year. Tennessee obviously has had their problems. My friend said today that Tennessee and Kentucky could both get better head coaches. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, what do you mean? You could fire Stoops at Kentucky and Heupel at Tennessee and go out right now in this climate and attract a better head coach for each school?
That is correct.
I mean, maybe, but it's a hell of a gamble. I wouldn't want to do it. Just in speaking for Tennessee's side of this conversation, TJ, I think Tennessee fans are very comfortable with Josh Heupel. I think the idea of stability is very appealing in what has been a very unstable situation the past couple of years, and I think they want no part of a coaching change. Unless Nick Saban or Dabo or
– I'm not Dabo. Maybe,
I mean, some people would even argue that. I wouldn't, but some people would.
You'd take Saban right now?
I think most people are comfortable with Josh Heupel moving forward. And I think for Kentucky, I mean, look, you guys ought to be doing cartwheels. I mean, Mark Stoops has elevated that program's profile. And I would definitely not want to see him walking out that door if I were a Kentucky fan.
I mean, you guys have got yourself a nice little program up there now, you know?
Yeah. It's
your grocery store field.
I still call it Commonwealth. Look, money, never mind. I can't, we're not on voluntary action. I can't go into that. I don't like that it's called Kroger Field. I still call it Commonwealth Stadium, as it should still be. But anyways, my next question to you, Kentucky has, you know, there's rumors of Will Levis coming back, Wandale Robinson, Chris Rodriguez. If you guys could pick any two graduating seniors or guys who would go in the pros, any two players on any side of the ball for Tennessee, what two guys would you guys want back for next year?
Cade Mays and Cedric Tillman.
I mean, you know, I think where you're headed with this, TJ, is like, let's assume that everybody that can come back is coming back.
Yes.
Boy, that's a good one. I mean, Cade would definitely be at the top of the list. Velus, I mean, both receivers are in the conversation. And then Alante Taylor, Matt Butler. I don't know, man. That's a great question.
That's a really tough one.
All right, guys. Well, hey, I'm going to try not to get in any trouble out here in Vegas, and y'all keep doing your thing.
Oh, God.
Good luck with that. All right. Thank you, TJ.
Love how he always reminds us. He's in Vegas having a good time.
Don't use that government travel card at the casino.
865-546-8200. I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
That is a smoking hot question.
What's that? Oh, which two? I mean, I'd want to say like Hooker and Milton, but man, could you imagine if Cade wasn't going into the draft, we'd have all five linemen back.
We're operating from the assumption that everybody that can come back is coming back. So, Hooker and Milton are at the top of that list. But for all the guys that are gone, All the guys that went through the tee for the last time, like who amongst that crew, if you could only have one back?
Only one?
Yeah.
Valus.
Over Cade?
It'd be a hard decision between those two.
It's hard, man. Alante Taylor.
Javonte Payton? Mm. You saw in that Georgia game once Javonte went out, I think it really neutered our offense because we couldn't go deep.
Well, the season-ending PFF grades came out. And the Pro Football Focus analytic grades or what on a game-by-game basis, they're kind of – I will admit, it's fun to look at. But I don't think it's – you know, sometimes like Hooker would go out there and just shred people and then they would really ding him on his score. But over the course of a season – I think it's really good. This is why analytics is so much more useful in baseball particularly, but basketball over football because there's so many more games and the errors even themselves out over time. But our highest graded player on either side of the ball was Hooker, and I think that Alante was right up there too. I know he's the highest on offense.
Well, I've got a question. I need to write it down for T-Fair on Friday about Alante. I want to get Terry's evaluation of Alante. I may be completely wrong. I'm not a DB coach, but I wasn't that impressed. Am I stupid for saying that? That I wasn't.
I mean, I don't think he's a first-round pick or anything, but I think he's by far our best corner.
I mean, do you really think he's our best defensive back?
I mean, I don't know. But I've heard Terry say, like, he's our only guy that'll get up and put his hands on you and get physical. And
yeah, yeah. To me, it's really hard with
– and he got us those cookies, man. Yeah. So, I mean, that's Alante, that's the cookie monster.
Then again, cookies. Cade, you know, a player like Cade's kind of a heart and soul of your – you know, leader of your offensive line.
Yeah, it's going to be a glaring hole that they're going to have to address, I think, in the transfer portal at right tackle. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Back to wrap up hour number one of the show. More of your phone calls coming up. Does that help keep you warm in the cold winter months?
What, my hairy toes?
No, you're
like a caveman.
You're just hairy body, chest, back. Is it like that on the back too?
You got chest hair?
Yeah.
Did you see? I mean, did you not see what he just?
Wow!
Look at that.
That's like Tom Selleck. You got it's anything you can thick match mane. That? Russ has got like one hair he's been nurturing since he was 15.
I've sprouted a couple.
You got a couple? Yeah. You don't want to challenge him to any kind of like he'll compare. You want to compare feet? He claims he's got the best-looking feet at the station.
Who?
You.
I do?
You have. When I said something about my feet looking good during the summer, you said you would gladly. You told me to take off my shoes. You'd take off yours, and you'd have a foot off.
Absolutely did not happen.
Yeah, it did.
Is this a lot of stuff of one of your post-surgery, like drug-induced kind of
no, this happened back. I mean, it's gone once whoever played.
Foot off?
Yeah, you said that you told me to take off my shoes.
I would never tell any other man to take off his shoes ever, first of all.
You said you had good-looking feet.
Second of all...
Does that not sound like him?
Second of all, I have terrible-looking feet. Who has good-looking feet?
Nobody does, but you, whenever you're challenged, and Jake, back me up on this, if you're challenged about anything, you will immediately go alpha.
I do not back down from most challenges. I can't imagine indulging in a foot challenge. That's weird.
Bro, you dropped trow in the studio on camera. To show us your electric blue briefs.
What does that have to do with anything?
You have no shame. None. You're insane.
Would you like to move along at this point?
Yeah, let's do.
You won't have a foot off.
Bet I won't. Let's go to the phones.
I am kind of
speaking of foot off.
This,
did you see the Tiger Woods interview?
No, I'm going to watch it when we get off.
He said he almost lost his foot, man.
Yeah. I don't doubt it.
He wants to play 10 to a dozen events a year.
Hopefully one of them's a Masters.
At some point. He says all his distance is gone. I mean, he just started hitting balls, but...
I'm sure his legs, he's got no power right now.
FSK out of context.
He's got a long way to go. Let's go to the phone since I already hear him chuckling and breathing heavily in the background. Geraldo Vall is up next. What's up, Geraldo?
Sorry, guys. I didn't realize I was on. That was
sorry,
funny.
I punched you in accidentally.
What's up, guys? I've got a report from the wall since I'm a watcher on the wall for this coaching search that may or may not happen.
What you got?
So, okay, you guys heard about the statement that Heupel made, right?
Yeah, it kind of made me nervous.
Why?
It made me nervous, too. That's exactly what I was going to talk about.
Oh, you guys.
There is like, it is exactly like when we go beyond the wall to investigate some wildlings, and we find that there is a strange pattern of body parts in the snow. That's
agreed.
Exactly what that was.
I mean, what do you want him to say? I would never leave. I love you guys so much. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I want him to say, open the tee.
You want him to say, open the tee. That would do it for you, huh?
Open the tee.
We never even thought about that. He should be the one that bellows it out, shouldn't he? Should come out in front of the team.
Open the tee.
God, we're horrible. Go ahead, Geraldo.
Oh, no, I mean, that's all I want to talk about is like, it was kind of a vague, very coach speak kind of answer that actually made me more nervous than if he hadn't said anything.
He left himself some outs, that's for sure, Russ.
He's a vague kind of coach speak guy. I mean, I don't know what you
that's
guys
true.
Want.
That is true.
He did say
that is true.
Stuff about building the program for next year and years to come after that.
Well,
they all say that.
I will say this. What the Oklahoma job, I mean, it doesn't look like he is much of a candidate for that one at all. But if Notre Dame came calling, what do you think his response would be?
It better be go to hell.
It's too cold up there, man.
He is Catholic.
Heupel is?
No.
Is he really?
He's from South Dakota, isn't he? So he's not. He doesn't mind the cold.
Gets him closer to home.
Closer to God.
What?
He's going to Notre Dame.
Oh.
Okay, touchdown Jesus.
I think we're just as close to the Almighty here in God's country, beautiful East Tennessee, as those weirdos up there in Indiana. Our closeness to the Lord God Almighty takes a second seat to no program. Thank you very much.
This phone call went in a very different direction than what I had envisioned. I was just trying to give you guys a report from the wall. I sent this is my raven to you down in King's Landing, Russ, as you continue to act like the White Walkers are not coming.
See, here's what I don't get about you guys, man. Y'all are nuts. Last week, when I was telling you that this was going to be a big topic of conversation, you were like, oh, you're just trying to stir it up. Stop that. Blah, 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 all that stuff. And now, when I'm telling you that you have nothing to be worried about this, as far as this year is concerned, he might leave next year. Who knows? You guys are freaking out and running in the direction that you told me not to run in last week.
Well, I do have a bit of an update. Apparently, sources are saying that OU is putting the full court press on one Michael Leach.
What did I tell you last week?
The Pirate.
Do
what
it.
What did I tell you
do
last
it.
Week?
Let's go.
I want it to happen so we can finally, you know, hopefully you and Davey can finally hush with the, oh, he's never been in a top-tier program.
Guys, I don't know. That makes me nervous, too. That's not a good sign to me because, like, if Mike Leach turns him down, who's it coming for next?
Big Bobby Hill?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they've got a message board called the Dirt Burglars. Have you been on there yet, the Oklahoma?
The Dirt Burglars.
It's called the Dirt Burglars. Look it up.
The Dirt Burglars?
That's the name of the message board.
I thought you said the turd burglars.
No, the dirt.
Well, that's because that's what the Sooners were, right? They scrambled onto Oklahoma. They were rushing to claim the best plots of land there.
Yeah, that's why they called dirt burglars. They stole the dirt. They stole the land from the Indians.
Yeah.
And
my people.
Like, on all their message was like, none of those, they don't want Heupel. Like, anybody that posts, what about Josh Heupel, quickly gets.
They don't want Heupel, and he don't want them.
But you know who
okay,
does?
Who?
We didn't want Butch Jones. We didn't want Butch Jones. We didn't want Greg Schiano, and those things still happen.
But look,
Russell wanted Butch.
They could get
Greg Schiano,
Brent Venables. They could get. I mean, it's not going to fall past Venables, is it?
Like, I didn't realize Venables went to Oklahoma.
If they offer him that job, he'll take it.
Yeah.
They're just seeing if they can get something a little better.
Which job would you take, Geraldo?
What are you talking about?
Out of all these jobs, if you were one of these guys, which one would you have taken?
USC.
Fight on.
Yeah, like, I would have done exactly what Lincoln Riley did. No doubt. I'm a coward. I don't care to admit it.
Geraldo, you stay up there on the wall and keep a watch. Keep a watch for us.
I'm doing this for you because I love you.
We love you. Thank you. It's a labor of love for Geraldo Vall up on the wall. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up.